And so you're telling me about how things have changed, and now this is like the 6-year anniversary of the center, right? And
yeah.
The distribution?
Yeah, this is actually our second year volunteering here.
Wow.
And we also attend the church that sponsors this.
Yeah.
With COVID, before COVID, we actually used to bring the clients in to where they could almost like shop. They could pick and choose what they wanted. If they didn't,
they could choose.
If they didn't like carrots or if they didn't like onions, they didn't have to take them.
Okay.
But once with 300 plus families a month, there was no way to safely bring that many people through the building.
Yeah.
Socially distanced and with masks, it just wasn't possible. So we started this way, the drive up,
mm-hmm.
which the plus side is that it speeds the line along, so there's a much less wait time for the clients to get their food and get on with their day.
Okay.
However, the downside to that is that we lose much of the personal contact,
mm-hmm.
and there's just so many people who are broken and hurting, and their situation was like that before COVID started.
Sure.
Whether it was just their health or their finances or loved ones that had strayed down the wrong path, and it was just such inward pain and anguish to moms and dads and loved ones. So we try to do the best we can here. You know, there's a great group of people. There's no other food pantry in the area that gives away the protein that we do. They get probably 25 to 35 pounds of meat, frozen meat, as well as canned goods, dry goods, and we also try to provide as many fresh foods, potatoes, onions, eggplant, basically whatever is in season. We get a lot of support from the farmers in the area.
That's really great. That's amazing.
Yeah, just when you consider the 200 to 300 million tons of food goes to waste every year, and I don't believe what the imperfect stuff that's completely edible but not sellable that's left in the field, it's probably double that.
Wow.
I know our farm was able to donate probably 2,000 ears last year that were completely edible. They were fine on the inside, but they were just a couple of days late being picked, and then what the industry standard calls it was sunburned. Wasn't even dried out, it was just a little discolored, and in order to be in the store, whether it's Walmart or ShopRite or whatever grocery retailer, it's got to be perfect.
The standard,
and,
yeah.
You know, the American public is so spoiled,
mm-hmm.
as to what they expect on the shelf, where there's the food is completely edible.
It's
there's
completely
nothing
edible.
Wrong
yeah.
with it. Nothing wrong with it at all.
And you guys, so you do you own a farm? Are you in the area?
I work for a farm.
I work for a farm.
In,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's really, and you guys can supply some produce and anything yeah. that you have. That's incredible.
Yeah, we were able to do probably a couple hundred heads of cabbage last year.
Wow.
Probably 1,000 ears of corn. Maybe 25 bushels of string beans. Again, the string beans were rejected at the auction.
Yeah.
Somebody bought them and returned them. Just because they were a little too dirty.
Wow.
The produce market industry is so competitive, so cutthroat,
mm-hmm.
that they really just they want to buy a box of stuff and sell a box of stuff. They want to make money without getting their hands dirty.
They just want to make
and
money.
And because of the weather conditions, there was just too much dirt in the string beans that they wouldn't take them. So we brought them here. So.
That's incredible. But I also noticed too that, when people come up and are ready to, get the food here, that you guys are still able to kind of make that contact just briefly at the window and speaking with them. I think that's really incredible too.
You know, as for our beliefs, I mean, it's, it's our idea is to feed the inner man.
Yeah.
Not just to care for their physical needs, but mm-hmm. to make eye contact, a good morning, Jesus loves you.
Sometimes that's what someone needs.
Especially with the social distance, people are so isolated.
I
believe a lot of the social ills that we see, the suicide rate is so much higher.
Yeah.
It's because people are isolated and they just have no, they have no human contact,
We try to
feed the whole person, in the love of God,
Yeah.
We're not out here for us. There's nothing for We, me and my wife, we've had a very busy week, and we could have just as easily laid in the bed this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we got up at 6:30 to be
here. You're up here, and people are here and ready to go.
Again, due to our beliefs, you know, we believe that we are the hands, the feet, the face, and the heart of Jesus. And that's what we try to convey to the people, you know, that there is hope.
Yeah.
You know, that there's healing, there's forgiveness, there's mercy, there's compassion into a world that has very little.
I hear you. If there's anything you think that New Jersey could do better as we try to heal from this together, is there anything that you think that could be done in support or that people should hear?
You know, I think the government was a little overreaching, a little heavy-handed. People's livelihoods have been just destroyed and ruined. You know, people will have lost their businesses, lose their homes. You know, I guess that's not as bad as being infected or being dead, but there needs to be a more balanced compassion for what is, you know, than what we've done, you know. And I think that with as heavy-handed as the government was, we still have an extremely high caseload. I mean, we're almost to 1 in 7 have been infected with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's about 850,000 cases. There's only 7 million people in New Jersey, so we're nearly to 1 in 7. I don't think the heavy-handed approach has really been as effective as they anticipated, you know.
Well, thank you so much for just taking a few minutes to talk to me today.
I appreciate that. I'm gonna go ahead and stop.